So good. Well, hey, we started a new series this month called In the Moment. In the Moment. And we're looking at this concept that we can go through life and we can be busy, we can be full of activity, we can have a whole lot of things going on. You could open your Google Calendar right now and you can see months worth of appointments and meetings and birthday parties and all kinds of things happening. But sometimes, you know, we can go through life, we can be busy, but we can miss the moment. We can miss the moment. And we're going to turn to a passage of Scripture in just a moment's time. We're going to turn to a passage of Scripture. Let me just find it here. I should have really opened this up earlier, right? That would have been a good idea. When I first read this story in the Bible, I actually felt a bit like it was a bit unfair, this story, because I kind of related to sort of, you know, the characters in this story. Let me find, here it is. But here we go. It's Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke 10, 38. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? I mean, fair comment, right? There's two sisters. One's doing all the work. One's doing all the mowing. And the other one's lying on the picnic blanket, chilling out with Jesus. Okay, here's what I'm talking about, all right? Can anyone relate to the one that's kind of doing the work? Anyone, you know, just get home and you feel like it's like I'm getting things done or whatever. Maybe you get to work and you feel like there's some people at work and they're a little bit more like they're sitting at Jesus' feet and you're a little bit more, you can relate a bit more to the people. Maybe Pete arrives at the work site on a Monday morning at 4:30 in the morning, you know, and there's some guys that are more, maybe not chilling at Jesus' feet, but they're just chilling, okay? And so it says that Martha says to Jesus, come and tell her to help me. And Jesus replies, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. She's chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, Jesus is not making a theological statement about preparing lunch. Okay, this is not an excuse to go home and not feed your children today, right? Because Martha's in the kitchen and no, Jesus said, no, it's better just to not have lunch at all, okay? That is not an excuse not to feed your kids. But Jesus is making a point, I believe, in this context about what we're speaking about and about priorities and essentially about being in the moment. You know, When I was younger, my brother, anyone have the little baby captures? We've got one now. Our youngest daughter's here on the front row, just chilling, okay? And you know the baby captures where you click them into the car, then you click them out and you can carry them around, you can put them in the pram. My brother was in a baby capsule and my mum dropped us at primary school. But she forgot to take my brother home. Right, she was chatting and she was talking in conversation, kind of got really distracted and was having the best time with her girlfriends, just having a big chat. And she forgot to actually carry the baby capsule with the baby in it, right? This is like a parent's worst nightmare. Like this is, and so she's driving home and then she realizes, like she just has that moment where it's like, oh my gosh, I forgot my child, right? And so she returns back to the school. Thankfully, she went back, which is, that's good. She went back and there were all of her girlfriends all having a laugh, waiting around, looking after my little brother, Matt. Okay. And there he is in the baby capsule. And they haven't, you know, she was, my mum still cops it now. But the reality is sometimes we can get so distracted, can't we, with things that are going on around us that we actually miss the things that are most important. And the question for us today is am I so distracted by the urgent things that are going on that I miss the important? We can be so distracted by the urgent that we miss the important. I look back when, you know, Emily and I, we have four children now and we're done. We're tapping out. It's over, all right? But I'm calling it, okay, in the presence of many witnesses. But I look back, you know, now, at, like, and we used to have, when we had no kids, and firstly, we used to feel so busy, right? Firstly, we felt so busy. Secondly, I thought about all the different, like, the date nights and things we did, and we were like, we didn't know what to do. I'm thinking, seriously? Like, now, it's like, if we have, like, 15 minutes, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yes, you know, I had 15 minutes of peace. It was, like, unbelievable. It was, like, the best thing in my whole week. Who knows what I'm talking about? And so, you know, I think sometimes we can actually miss the truly important moments in life. We can fail to recognize the season that we're in right now and just how significant that season is. And for all of us, there are moments happening in your life right now that are truly important. Moments with God, moments with people, moments with family, moments maybe if you've got children with your children, moments with the people that God has brought into your life, moments where you get to dream and hear God's voice. And there's all these moments going on in life, and all of us are walking, essentially walking through the pages of our lives, experiencing these key moments. These moments where something incredible can take place, where we can be fully engaged with someone. We can be fully present with someone. And the reality was that Martha, if you read this story, she was busy. She was worried. She was overwhelmed. She was anxious. She was stressed. I mean, can anyone here maybe relate? In the last week, have you felt any of these emotions, like busy, worried, anxious, overwhelmed, stressed? Like, be honest, has anyone experienced just one of those emotions in the last 7 days? Yeah. And you know what? I've noticed that as a society, we're so distracted. We're so distracted. We're so distracted and troubled with many things. Like now, you know, like back in the day, the phone, right? It used to be like something you'd go to in your home and you would actually dial the thing, like the round thing. And who knows, who remembers that, right? It was, you would dial it like round, yeah. And so, well, now our phone, like literally right now, like God could be wanting to speak to you even in this moment, but we could be distracted even right now with things that are popping up on our phone, with things that are going on. And they're calling our generation the anxious generation and the distracted generation. That we look at multitasking as some sort of kind of goal in life, but in fact, the studies prove that multitasking actually ruins our productivity and actually potentially damages our biology, damages our brain, damages our ability to focus. And I just think we're so distracted, we're so busy, we're so often stressed out. And we have to ask, I think, ourselves the question, have I become a slave to the things that God has created me to enjoy? You know, God created us to enjoy work, to enjoy the things He's given us. But at what point do we begin to become a slave to the things that God has created us to enjoy? And Jesus said it best in Mark 8:36. He said this, "For what shall it profit a man?" Mark 8:36, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world," in other words, have heaps going on, "but lose his soul? What shall it profit a man if he's got his week booked up, there's all kinds of things going on, there's all kinds of outward success, and success isn't bad, but who knows, God wants to bring godly success, not just success. And your week can be crammed. You can have so many things going on and you get to the end of the week and ever felt like you've slid into the end of the week, like sliding into home base, and you feel like, thank God I made it. And then your next thought is, wait, there's another week coming, like right now. Can anyone relate to that feeling? And it's just like the pace of life is increasing and there's so many things going on. And Jesus said, well, what would it profit a man if he gained everything, but he lost his soul? If he had everything going on, all kinds of stuff happening, so busy, so distracted, so active, so much happening, but has lost his soul. And I actually think we must learn as believers, as followers of Jesus, to put a line in the middle of our lives between the myriad of the trivial, of the urgent, and the truly important. Who knows that as followers of Jesus, that we need to learn to actually say, you know what, all of this stuff is going on, but I have to identify for me what is really most important. See, for many of us, the urgent crowds out the important. The doing replaces the being. that the goal can sometimes overtake the process. The functionality in our relationships can sometimes replace the intimacy in our relationships. That we can sometimes lose the forest for the trees. We can get so distracted with everything that's going on that life actually begins to choke out the things that are most important to God and to us. And in Mark 4, Jesus has been explaining a parable about the seeds in the soil. And he's telling this parable and no one can figure it out what Jesus is talking about. And so as would often happen, Jesus' leadership team, his crew, his disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Hey, Jesus, remember that thing you said? What the heck does that mean?" You know what I'm saying? And so in Mark 4:13, we read that Jesus said to, in response to that question, "You know, you were talking about seeds and soil. I don't understand. Are you wanting us to go to Bunnings? Like, we're just not quite figuring it out." You know, it's like when Jesus talks about the yeast of the Pharisees and they're like, "We forgot the bread." And Jesus is like, "Guys, I'm not talking about bread. Seriously." And so Jesus said to them, "If you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all of the other parables?" Snap. The farmer... Mic drop. It's like mic drop moment. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have a deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. And the third seed, the seed that fell among the thorns, represents others who hear God's word, listen to this, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much has been planted. Do you know that God's heart, God's desire for your life is a life of fruitfulness? It's a life where it's full, but it's focused. And Jesus says, he talks about four types of soil, and Jesus actually says that there's this soil that's called thorny soil. And what happens is the most important thing in this context is God's word. The most important thing is choked out by the worries of life, by all the other things that are going on. And what does it say? It means that the seed, it exists, there's a plant, there's visibility, but there's no fruit. Ever been in life and felt like I'm so busy, there's so much going on, but I don't feel like I'm getting any traction? I'm a lot of output. It's like just someone doing a burnout. It's just like a lot of output, a lot of fuel's being consumed, a lot of tires are being worn through, but we're not actually going anywhere, right? And in life, we can be a bit like that when we're distracted, when we're busy, when there's all kinds of things going on. And I actually think Jesus is calling us as followers of him to live different. You know, even in this message right now, God could be speaking something to us, but we could miss it by something else that's going on. You know, sometimes as a parent, I can get home and I can think about all the things that need to happen and I can miss that moment. I can miss the moment with my child, with my kids. I can miss the moment with my family. So too often when there's all these kinds of things going on, and I think we need to ask ourselves the question, what has God placed in my life that is truly important, but is being crowded out or choked by distraction or business? You know, there's that old age-old saying, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy, right? It's like one of the key things is just if he can just distract you from the things that matter most, then your life will be lacking in any kind of effectiveness and fruit. And the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 15, he says this about this concept. Ephesians 15, I think it's verse 15. He says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul's saying this, hey guys, don't just kind of go along with the flow. Who knows that the flow of our culture is actually to be busy, to have heaps going on. You know, any dead fish can swim with the stream. Did you know that? It's a proven fact. Any dead fish can swim with the stream. But the reality is, if we're actually going to live different, we need to be intentional about the things in our life that matter most. The relationships, our relationship with God. You know, actually, one of the easiest questions to answer is this: what do I need to do? One of the hardest questions to answer is this: what matters most? It's easy to come up with a to-do list. Anyone a fan of to-do lists? Yeah, you like making a good old to-do list and you feel accomplished and you feel like you got, and sometimes you can get to the end of the week and you've done everything on your to-do list, but have we been effective? Have we been fruitful? Have we prioritized the things that matter most? And Paul's saying in this scripture, he uses this word opportunity. And in the Greek, this word opportunity, it actually it talks about time. In the Greek, it's actually speaking about time. And in the New Testament, there's two types of time, that two words for time that are used. One is kairos and one is chronos. Now, chronos speaks about time being like 1 hour. It's a measure of time. 1 hour, 5 minutes, right? It's like on this date. So chronos speaks about the chronological context of time. But kairos is a completely different concept. And kairos actually means the appointed time in the purpose of God. So here's what Paul is saying. Hey guys, make the most of every appointed moment from God. Who knows that in your day, that there's chronos time. You're making cereal, okay, you're making breakfast, okay, you know, you're going to the bathroom, okay, or whatever, you're getting ready for work. Those things are moments in life, but they're probably not the most significant moments. It's not like you get to work and you say, oh my goodness, like I had cereal this morning and it actually changed my whole life. Like maybe if you really love cereal, then maybe that is a reality for you. Like every day you got Cocoa Pops. Oh my goodness. Okay. But generally we're not pouring out our cereal or making toast and thinking that toast just changed my entire life. I will never be the same again, right? But there are moments in conversation. There are moments when we connect with God. And they're not just average moments, but they're actually moments that can be an appointed moment from God where something can shift in our heart, where a relationship can deepen, where something can change, where a mindset can be changed, where a connection or a friendship can be developed, where someone can be encouraged. Who knows what I'm talking about? There are actually moments in our lives that God doesn't want us to just wander through life aimlessly, just doing things, but actually be intentional about the people and the moments that He's placed in your life. And God wants to do something significant through you, through you. And so, therefore, knowing what is important is really important. Knowing in your life what is important is really important. And can I encourage you, maybe one of the things that you need to do and I need to do is to go away and rather than come out with a to-do list, begin to write a what matters most list. Begin to think about the things in your life, even as a starting point, about the things that matter most. And so I've just got a couple of thoughts around how we can, rather than just living busy, rather than we can be dominated by the urgent, rather than just kind of living frantic. You know, who wants to live frantic? I don't think anyone wants to live frantic. Who wants to live a fruitful, blessed life where we're actually putting first the things that matter most to God and ultimately matter most to us? You know, we all want that. So here's a couple of thoughts. The first one is to clarify what matters most. So that might be simply to come up with some kind of list. Start praying and asking God, you know, if you need help clarifying what matters most, go to God, go to Scripture. Have a think about at the end of your life, what kind of people do you want to be surrounded by your bedside and what kind of things do you want them to say about you in that moment? That may help clarify for you what really matters most. And so we need to actually pay attention. What are the things in my life that matter most to God and therefore should matter most to me? Can I encourage you? It's going to be a lot less about stuff and it's going to be a lot more about people. It's going to be a lot less about things. It's probably not going to be your boat, okay? boats aren't bad. Okay, I don't have a problem with boats. Okay, but it's probably not going to be your boat or your car. It's probably going to be the people that God has placed in your life. Can I encourage you? That's a great place to start. God's purpose in your life. The second thing is this: let's create habits to connect the dots between what matters most and our schedule. Okay, so here's the context. If there's something in your life that really matters, where are you prioritizing that? Where am I prioritizing that in my calendar, in my diary? You know, because sometimes, who knows, we can be really good at having a great intention. Like, I'm going to do this year. You know, we're coming up to a brand new year. And some of us are going to say, you know, I'm going to be the fittest I've ever been, right? I'm going to get so fit. I'm going to get so fit, it's ridiculous. You know what I mean? It's going to be amazing, you know? And so then the next question is, okay, what are you doing about that? Oh no, it's just going to be awesome. I'm going to be so fit. Yeah, but what are you doing about that? Well, I'm going to start in a few days. This week, I'm just having a cheat week, but in a few weeks, I really know I'm going to get into it. Who ever done that before? You know, the diet starts tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? But if there's something that matters most in your life, then the next question should be, where in my calendar have I not just randomly done this, but where in my calendar have I created the space for that, to prioritize that person or prioritize that thing that God has called me to do? You know, ever found yourself saying, oh, if there were just 25 hours in a day, if there were just 8 days in a week, but who knows? God actually calls us to be faithful with the amount of time that He's given us. Everyone has the same amount of time. So the question is not trying to find some time and find some extra time. It's actually about creating margin in your life to prioritize the things that actually matter most. Maybe for you, it's going to be to actually intentionally structure and carve out time in your calendar to spend time with Jesus. The most important relationship in your life, literally the most important relationship in your life, is your relationship with Jesus, where you can have a relationship with the creator of the universe. That if you need help with something, you know, you can go to a friend or whatever, but who knows, it's pretty amazing when you can go to God and you can go to God's word and say, God, give me wisdom on this relationship. God, give me wisdom in this context. And God is actually wanting to speak. God's wanting to speak. And so maybe for you, it's to create quiet time. Maybe for you, it's in your relationship. Maybe if you're married, it's to prioritize time with your husband or wife. Maybe it's, if you've got kids, it's to prioritize time with your children to do something significant with them. It's to create more margin for something. Maybe it's a dream or a desire that God's placed in your heart. And you just know that if you just keep talking about it, nothing's going to happen. You've got to create some margin and space in your life, and you've got to actually do something. I've heard of families that have said, we're going to have technology-free nights. We're going to put every screen and device away, and we're actually going to speak to each other. Ever been like gone into a restaurant or somewhere and you've just seen an entire family all sitting looking at their phones? And it's like, you know, we can all fall into that trap, but who knows that there's nothing like face-to-face time. So maybe it's to actually schedule in and prioritize some face-to-face time, technology-free. I know that's crazy, right? Like maybe try not having your phone at the dinner table, right? Not even face down, like actually take the phone and put it away. That would be crazy. Okay. Hey, by the way, resist the urge to take a photo of everything. Do you know that some moments are okay not to go on social media? If it didn't go on social media, it can still happen. You know, it's like, oh, this is such a beautiful, imagine if I'm on a date, Emily, this is such a beautiful moment. Let's just get a photo right now. You know, it's like how that actually devalues the moment. I think sometimes it actually devalues the moment when we're trying to actually capture everything for everybody else to see. We may be missing the one important thing that God wants to do in that moment, in that context. Is that cool? And the third thing is this: let's look for the God moments. I don't want to get to the end of my life as the team come. Thank you. Thanks, Joy. Let's give it up for Joy. Oh, isn't it awful having to play keys at church and then you're the one that has to go up, sneak up on stage by yourself? You know, at least some auditoriums, they're dark and no one can really see what's going on. But here, it's like you're right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, not trying to bring any attention to you, Joy, but we can all see you. Okay. But who knows that, you know, it's just so much better when Joy starts playing keyboard. It's just way better. It's going to take this thing to a whole nother level. All right. But let's look for the God moments. I don't want to get to the end of my life and think, wow, I was so busy, but I wasn't fruitful. And has everyone got a marble now? Okay. I hadn't forgotten, by the way. Here's why you've got a marble, okay? Now, please don't leave those lying around. We do not want any children swallowing marbles today. But I read this story a few years ago about a dad who realized, had this epiphany, had this moment. He realized he was so busy with everything that was going on in life that he was missing the moments with his kids while they were young. And so he realized as his daughter was about to start high school that he only had 143 Saturdays left, right, with his daughter before she graduated. So he got 143 marbles and he put them in a jar, and every Saturday he would take a marble out of the jar and he would look at the marble as a reminder of the significance of that moment that he had to invest into that relationship. And he realized that no matter what happened, he was always going to lose his marbles. But he figured this way, he was going to be in control of how it happened. And the reality is in life that our lives are filled with key moments. Moments where God wants to speak, moments where God wants to move, moments where a relationship can change and alter, or new relationships can start, or someone can be encouraged, or something prophetic or profound can happen and take place. But if we're so busy and distracted, we'll often miss the moment, we'll miss the God moments. You know, I actually believe for our church community, we're just getting started. We're just getting started in what God wants to do for Life Church here on the north side. And I believe over this next season that God's going to bring people across your path and he's going to open a God moment for you in relationship. It's going to be someone that's not connected to him, someone that's not connected to a church, and you're going to have an opportunity in those moments to share about the difference that Jesus has made for you. Maybe it's in a relationship. You're going to have an opportunity. I'm believing for our whole church. Can we believe together that over these next few months, God's going to open up God moments for us? And you know, this hit home a number of years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago now. My dad had a heart attack and the doctor said that he wasn't going to make it. He was in a rowing race. He was rowing and he had a heart attack on the water and died and wasn't breathing for 10 minutes before they could get him to the shore, drag him across the mud and begin CPR and resuscitation. They managed to get his heart started again in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. And by that stage, they sort of said, there's not much chance that he will wake up ever again. And that's a whole other story, because it was a miracle that we went and we prayed and we declared the name of Jesus over him. And a number of days, about 6 days later, my dad woke up and the first thing he said was, did we win the race? But it was a year later, because we were celebrating his Alive Day, right? So we're having dinner as a family a year later. And I remember Lee about, you know, kind of getting towards the end of the night, and I realized that I hadn't had one, now there's heaps of people there, but I hadn't had one conversation that whole night. There was lots going on and you got kids. Who knows, taking kids to a restaurant, that's just such an amazing experience, right? And so it just warms the cockles of your heart. It definitely does something anyway to your heart. And so busy, stressed, anxious, overwhelmed. Anyway, so, and I realized that in the context of all the busyness and all the stuff and all the activity and all the food and all the celebrations and all the Thai food, it was awesome. Okay, just slip that in there, Thai food. But all the stuff that I hadn't actually had a moment over dinner where I had just connected with my dad. And it was only 12 months earlier that, to be honest with you, the thought of not having my dad, like of losing your dad, I know for those of us that have lost loved ones or maybe lost parents, it's a heartbreaking experience, the shock of that. And I remember my dad's in hospital, they're saying he's going to die, he's in ICU, he's got ice packs all over him, they're trying to cool his body tissue down and keep his brain alive, basically. And I remember calling my dad's phone just to hear his voicemail so I could hear his voice. And I think 1 year later, here I am with the opportunity that I would have, you know, just I was begging for 1 year earlier. The opportunity sitting right there at the table, and yet I had not taken that moment because I'd been so busy and so distracted. And that's what we're talking about. That in life, sometimes it's not until we lose something we realize the true value of it. And that's why Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains everything else but he loses his soul? In other words, we get to the end of our life and we realize, wait a second, all of those things in comparison to my soul and knowing my soul being in relationship with God, everything else pales in comparison to that relationship. And friends, there are moments for you and for me. And can we agree together? Let's look for the God moments and let's take them. When there's a moment where you can just stop and encourage someone, where someone's, when you ask a question and you realize someone's having a tough week, don't just say, oh, well, all the best, mate. Take a moment. Take a moment. Ask God for it, just for an encouragement. Say, hey, this is what I sense. This is what I feel. Maybe you don't feel comfortable doing that. Do it in your way. But friend, don't miss the moment with the things in your life that truly matter most. And you know, as I've already said today, the thing I believe that matters most above everything else is our relationship with Jesus, because it's in that relationship. You see, the context of that relationship frames the way we see everything else. It's not that God wants to restrict, but God actually wants to release. God wants to redeem. God wants to restore. And it's only in relationship with Jesus where we truly can understand our value to God and therefore the value of the contribution that we can make to our world. And so friend, today, if you don't know Jesus personally, like if you don't know him as a friend and as your Lord and as your Savior, maybe you know about God, you know things, you've heard stories, but you don't know him personally, I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for you. I want to help you connect with Jesus. It's actually why we at Life Church, it's why we exist as a church, is to help reach and empower people, reaching people with the life-changing message of Jesus and empowering people to walk it out, to live it out.